This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome, everybody, to Business Success Tips. Unfortunately, JC is still on the mend after all these weeks.
Dude, you know, what does he have, like the bird flu?
He considers his butt a water feature.
Wait, say that again. What? He considers his butt a what?
A water feature.
Oh, God. Oh, that's way too much information.
Explicit TMI.
Oh, my God. I can totally picture him.
Put the poor kid on an IV.
That's right.
That's awful.
Oh, I bought him some pink stuff. Hopefully we fixed it.
Yeah, I hope so. But did he go to Mexico recently?
No. He just, maybe he's having a crap.
Shake hands with him?
That's right. Yeah. People get sick occasionally. So that
Well, we hope he gets better quickly. Yep. And now, where's Lee? Is Lee coming back?
Yeah.
We have not seen Lee since the Great Purge.
Is he doing a He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Is he Who Shall Not Be Named telling Lee not to come back?
No. I don't think so. No.
I hope not.
No. He Who Shall Be Named, I found, had nothing to do with me. He says it was all to do with you. So I felt better because of that already.
Oh,
so,
yeah. That's good.
Anyway.
Actually, I'm kind of happy about that. I want to be the lightning rod on that one. Like bring it, bitch.
So anyway, what happened was... Lee said he may come back to the company. He felt that he was not contributing because all we were talking about was Twitter and this, and he really didn't feel a part of it. He felt he wasn't contributing, but he will come back. Probably the next session.
We might need to do a little recruiting here.
I think he's coming back, but maybe not. He will.
So, well, I think I agree with Steve. I think we should recruit somebody else, in case we have JC, we have four of us,
right?
And it's not like a show needs more than four of us.
Yeah,
you know, but I think we should probably have a backup, somebody else.
So I'm going to talk about my Finnish visitor.
Who is your Finnish visitor?
Tommy.
He was on our show.
Tommy, really great kid, absolutely great kid, but I had some philosophic conversations with him I found very interesting. And I don't know if this happens because it's Finland or because whatever, but here is Tommy, a very, very bright kid. And he's going to be a doctor. He's going to medical school, blah, blah, blah. And he was like the perfect visitor. I mean, there was not, other than, being too neat. If I confess the fault, they're not like he folded all his clothes. Everything's really neat. He ironed his t-shirts. I mean, this guy was like amazingly neat.
As long as it stops short of OCD, it's not too neat.
No, so he was like amazingly neat. But we sat down and had some philosophic conversations. And I said, Tommy, I've got a question for you. You're a really bright guy. Why do you think, what's the purpose? It's a big question. Why are, what's the purpose of life? Why are you on the planet? What is time for? Is there a life after death? These kind of questions. And he said, I've never really asked those, and it really doesn't matter. I mean,
but at 17, had you?
I asked him at 6. I mean, come on.
Wow.
You are an exception to the rule, I'd say, on that.
But to me...
You're actually more like my son. My son's like that. He's asked all those
questions. I was asking, why am I... I started questioning religion when I was about 9.
Yeah.
I went, excuse me.
I think you and Zachary are both spiritually precocious, but most people don't usually do that till 20s or 30s.
Well, to me...
Typically.
Well, I don't think... If you're... Basic time management, right? The question... The most important time management question anybody can ask, is this the best of use of my time right now, whenever now is? Whether you're making love, doing a podcast, or working, whatever it is. The question is this the best use of my time right now? And if the answer to that is no, then do something else. But you can't answer...
Sorry. I had the image of, is this the best use of my time while love making? Nope. Gotta go.
Yeah. I just did a self-assessment, and I'm sorry, but it falls below the line.
Yeah. If I can't come, it doesn't matter. Whatever. I don't know. But...
Explicit. We got the explicit lozenge now.
Check.
The point is, if you can't manage your time without answering that question. Like if you're driving down the road, whether you're going to New York or going to Florida, you got to make a different decision every turn of the road. You can't get somewhere without knowing where it is you're going. So if you haven't answered the basic question, why am I on the planet? Then how can you decide whether it's about making money, about making friends, about surviving, about sacrifice. You can't make those decisions.
Yeah, I still think that that's a tall order for a 17-year-old. I'm just going to keep saying that. I'm not saying it's not possible. And from your perspective, that's something that's really important for Tommy to be asking. But I just don't. I think that that's asking a lot of your average 17-year-old to do that. Now, if you're talking to somebody who's 30 and they haven't asked that question, you, I think what we've all experienced who are over the age of whatever, 20, 25, you start spinning your wheels.
Well, the answer
can be...
Because
you start going, what the hell? Well, I'm in the rat race.
Right.
What am I doing?
But if you're 16, the answer can be getting laid in a big car. That's okay.
That's good.
That's at least an answer.
It's
a perfect
world. It's like, you know, the Bob Seger night moves. I mean, at that time, all I was thinking about was, you know, being out in the cornfields.
She used me. I used her. Neither one cared. Yeah.
Right. So the point is, that's still an answer to that question. But to have no answer to that question... I don't see how you can possibly know whether you want to go to medical school or, you know, anything like that. Because it's all about why you're on the planet. And it doesn't have to be in some kind of spiritual answer.
Well, whose decision was med school? Was it his parents? Was it his?
Do not be alarmed. This is decanting of wine.
Okay. So my guess is it was his parents. They're just my guess. I can't guarantee that. And it's hard to know whether the decision is yours or your parents'. I know when I was beginning my PhD program, I dropped out. I realized that I don't really care if I get a doctorate. But my mom always wanted me one. And I had this like revelation, I'm going to school for my mom. Yeah, duh, how smart is that?
Yeah, you can't live your life for other people.
So, but I believe that in time management, that is the ultimate. We talked about, you know, quit and start your own, you know, what is it? Quit your job. What's our theme? Something like that.
Do we need one?
Yeah, we ever had one? What have we been talking about for
217 episodes? You know, it's like, quit your job and start your own business. But if you love your job, that's a stupid decision. But if you hate your job, there's no other decision to make. Mm. So
there's another way to go, which is you could just choose not to make judgments about anything. Because everything you're talking about comes down to a judgment. And you don't have to make a judgment.
But how can you make a decision without making a judgment?
It can be done.
Tell me, one.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, you just live your life without judgment.
But you
do. Try living one day without judgment. I've done it. It's really hard.
Well, the question is.
It's like eating, which I've done, a bag of popcorn, one kernel
right.
at a time.
But without really judgment, difficult. I mean, that's like this, you know, the Buddhists say all suffering comes from attachment, which I believe is totally true. But people are attached to their life, they're attached to their kids, they're attached to, you know, some biggies.
But you can detach from
these things. It's possible, and you won't suffer. But. As I see it, you have to. Do I go to work today? Do I lay in bed? There's a judgment about whether I should get up or lay in bed.
There doesn't have to be. That's assumptive. There doesn't have to be. You can go into the neutral, the void of non-judgment. I'm not saying I live there. I'd like to, but I have visited it, and it's a different space.
Well, how do you make a decision on whether to go to work or stay home?
The questions go away. It doesn't matter.
But then, how can you make a decision without? Deciding, how can you make a decision with that? That's the definition of a decision, is deciding, right?
You don't decide anything.
How can you possibly not decide
anything? Let's go to your specific question, though. You're asking, how do you make a decision without judgment? Why is judgment a prerequisite for a decision?
That's what I was going to ask. Is weighing two alternatives always judging?
Well, that, yeah.
This
because,
is what's best for me.
Because you're saying, should I go to work or stay home?
But what if it's...
go ahead.
I'm sorry. No. What if you're doing a purely left-brained assessment between two things and decide, you know, Ben Franklin-less type thing and deciding one or the other based on weight? That's not
there's
a judgment.
There's some judgment in there. You can't make a list without making a good bet.
Can use your intuition. You can live an intuitive life. If you live a completely intuitive life, there is no judgment. You go where you feel
but
drawn.
But there is a judgment that your intuition is a good thing to do. That's a judgment.
Well, we need Deepak Chopra here.
Well, it's still all, you know, back to the time issue. The question is, you know, what do I do with today? What do I do with tomorrow? We're all, you know, life is fatal. We're going to die. I think that's a good thing to keep
life
in mind.
Life is a terminal disease.
Yeah, we're all going to die. So the question, you've got so many days left on the planet, whether it's 2 or 2,000 or some number, and what is the best use of that day? Which is a question you should really ask yourself.
I think that you should say, do I have goals and objectives? And if the answer that comes back is, yes, in fact, I do, then it's an important thing to say, is what I'm doing now on the path of those goals? That's if you have those goals and mm-hmm. objectives. And you, if you're happy, if you're in the completely zen space of I am just happy where I am, I need nothing, I want for nothing, then I think that's an enviable state. I'm not saying most people live there. But
it would be good for the planet. Right?
Is that what Brian Wilson did?
That's right. Well, like a lot of people have done it. You know, it's a cool place to be. But if you say, yes, I want things, I want more money, I want a better career, I want a hot trophy wife, I want whatever it is, and then you do need to ask yourself, well, you don't have to, but if you don't, you really have nobody to blame but yourself for not achieving your aims, right?
Right.
But I want to go back to this crisis of spirit thing because it touched a nerve for me. And I'm gonna draw something into this that's going to seem really out of left field for you guys. But so my favorite fighter in MMA is, speaking of a guy who is Zen. Well, this guy, listen to this story. This guy's from Hawaii. His name's BJ Penn. They call him the Prodigy.
Would you explain to me what MMA is?
Okay, mixed martial arts. So, you know, UFC, which is not the first. They're the
right.
Johnny
and people
Kamali
sort of try to kill each other in a cage.
No, they don't try to kill each other. It's a complete sport. It's
there
a
are
very
rules.
Technical sport.
There are rules.
No, it's extremely technical. It's yeah. extremely technical.
But people get really bloody and hurt.
Occasionally, but that's not the point. But anyway, but you digress on my point.
Just let me make one point. People get hurt worse in football than they do in martial arts.
Thank you. Absolutely. Yes. And there have been more deaths right. and severe injuries. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, but the News at 10 version of it is, bloody barbaric sport. Right. Not at all, actually, highly technical. But my favorite fighter is this guy, BJ Penn, who's completely relaxed. He's completely Zen dude, but he's just a phenomenal fighter. So he's the MMA true fan's favorite fighter because he's not always been the best. He's had his donut eating phases where he's walked into the ring kind of heavy. He's so good he can get away with it. So his hard thing is it's hard for him to train really hard because he's so freaking talented that he doesn't have to. So for him, it's finding the motivation to find that edge because mm-hmm. he's not the underdog and whatever. So anyway, so he went up in weight. He's a lightweight. He's been the lightweight champ for a while. He went up in weight and fought this guy. He's fought several times at welterweight, which is a weight up, and he lost. And it was a definitive loss. I mean, he lost to him before. This time it was like, clearly you're not going to beat this guy, George St. Pierre from Canada. So he went back down to his division where he's a natural. He should be a 155er, a lightweight. But he's coming off a really hard loss emotionally. I mean, it took him out, you know? And so there's an upstart guy who's this guy, Kenny Florian from Boston, and it was the fight of his life. And this guy's hungry. He wants it. He's like, BJ, you're done. This is my house now. And, mm-hmm. you know, and he had a great fight. And so he had to get himself, he had to crawl back out of this loss and everything. And he said that in the post-fight interview, he said, you know, I woke up this morning before this fight. I won't tell you what happened yet, but he woke up this morning before the fight and he goes, I've been doing this for 9 years. He's like, what the hell am I doing? So he had that moment you're describing, the morning of this fight, which is this biggest mm-hmm. fight of his career. And he said, I'm doing it for the fans. These people love me and they want me to do this. And that's where he found the motivation. And he went in there and he kicked this dude's ass. I mean, he did it. And this guy's an amazing fighter. So it was an amazing fight. And anyway, he played it perfectly and he did what he had to do, but he really had to overcome a lot of adversity and that complete questioning of why am I here? What am I doing? Like that complete irk, like, you know, right. tunnel vision thing. And so, yeah. So anyway, I think it's really a question that we all face at various times, but it's an important question. It's a clarifying question for us in our existence. And
well,
it's
it comes down to, I think everything's like 95% why and 5% how to. I mean, if you have the motivation, you can do about anything.
That's true.
But you know, in that case, his fans were kind of his family, right? And why do a lot of us do things? We do it for our family. Or we should be reminding ourselves,
right? Soldiers at war fight for the guy next to them, not for themselves.
But right. What I find interesting is that I think is a form of insanity in some cases. Because if you look at, I'm going to digress again one more time.
That's redundant.
Thank you for sharing. That if we look at the fantasy of the future. When my parents were younger and I was a little kid, the husband worked, the wife stayed home with the kids, and people lived, you know, they had little track house.
Is that how you refer to your mom and your dad, as the husband and the wife?
That's right. Hey, yeah, Harry and Jean. But and they had, you know, an okay life. My dad was an electrician, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and you know, the president of the PTA, blah blah blah. She beat me, but who cares? But what I'm saying is that there was a vision of the future, which I found interesting. The vision of the future, I think it was held in the 56, 58, 59, 1915, was in the future, machines will take over the burden of man, and that the husband will only work 20 hours a week, and the wife, again, won't work at all. There'll be more time with the family, will stay at home. And there's this vision of the automation would allow people to spend more quality time. Machines would sort of take over, little vacuum
cleaners. Well, wait a minute.
I'm not saying what happened.
Machines have allowed us to spend more time with our families because now we have the machines that let us telecommute and be around our families.
The reality is almost all families have two working people. Kids are in babysitters more than ever. The total family has disintegrated. People are consuming more. They're less healthy. It's sort of gone to shit.
Oh, he's right. The lives that you and I lead with our families are not
atypical.
Average life.
They're atypical.
Yeah.
So as a society, what has happened? And I think you could blame the corporations or advertising. I don't know how it comes down. But life, I think, a case we made for life has gone downhill.
Absolutely.
The husband and wife both work to support, you know, most people are, earning money they don't need to support a lifestyle they can't afford to embrace people they don't care about, something like that. So how did it get there? I can tell you
partly why I got there, because we've experienced the destruction of the middle class in this country. Mm-hmm. We really have. Mm-hmm. And we've seen vast sums of wealth get into the hands of a few through these, and we've seen examples of massive abuses on Wall Street. I won't name any firms, mm-hmm. but
he's on a libertarian soapbox. Let it go. I agree with
and this, that's part of it. It's the destruction of the middle class, and it's not over. It's not. I mean, we're just, you know, we're in the fifth inning.
But it's a real problem when the middle class disappears in any society, and that's what we're. Well, experiencing.
But what I see is instead of, you know, life becoming easier, it's becoming hard. And to me, the scary part is, I'm going to sort of blame it on consumerism, that big kind of whatever the hell consumer is, but, you know, more stuff that everybody needs, that the lifestyle of consumerism is being spread throughout the planet, right?
I'm going to let you finish that thought when we get back from our break. And we're back, and Paul was saying the lifestyle of consumerism.
Right. I have a great example of that. Turkey had virtually no credit cards 10 years ago, and now they've got 5 or 10 million. I can't remember what the number is, but they went from zero credit to massive credit.
So whatever is driving people to have more stuff, whether it's two cars, two houses, you know, whatever the more stuff thing is, and more stuff that they really don't need, this whole consumer society, whether it's driven by advertising or whoever it's being fueled by, it's getting worse and worse. And I was thinking, you know, I was thinking of writing a movie that would have something to do with that. And the movie is, the people come down from another planet. They're space people. And they show up on this planet, and they go, okay, the Earth as a being has been sending out signals going, it's got a terminal disease called humanity. So we're going to have to, if the Earth is going to survive as a green planet, not as a dead rock, we are going to have to make an intervention here. So what we're going to do is we're going to release a virus and create certain societies are going to be sterile. We're not going to have a big plague and wipe out everybody, because sterility would wipe out the whole planet in 100 years. So we're just going to make certain groups of people sterile so they can't continue to screw things up. What's interesting is if you were the space person and you were making decisions on who should be sterilized en masse, what countries would you pick? What peoples would you pick?
Consumer societies, the heavy consumer societies.
You would pick
living out of balance,
right? You pick United States, some of the European countries. Mm-hmm. India's catching on really quick. And you, if you judged, you know, the whether they deserve to survive or not and have kids as their relationship to the Earth they were upon, the only ones to be safe are the indigenous species, you know, the Aborigines, some African. Some people have actually been in harmony for, you know, 30,000-40,000 years, but other than those people, everybody else is going to have to be like way cut down. And it's a sort of interesting way to look at success or lack of success. It's sort of the reverse. And what I found interesting,
it's just one definition of success. Right. What is true success?
Right. And what I found interesting is, you know, I sometimes say I spend life, you know, polishing Hitler's shoes, but I'm not a criminal. So I'm part of that. God knows I'm a consumer. You know, I got a car, a house, I'm like using up stuff like crazy. And I thought, that's very interesting. How do I shift that? And I really don't know. I mean, I've thought about that. I help people build big people houses, and I can justify saying, well, you know, they're going to build a house anyway, blah, blah, blah. So it does, to me, bring up some very interesting time management questions. To sort of digress to that, is the best use of my time screwing up the planet, or does it really matter? What do you think?
About what you do?
Yeah. No, about that question.
Is that the best use of your time?
Or your time, or anybody's time?
Well, I personally am good with the way I'm spending my time right now. But truthfully, my value system is a little bit different. I mean, mine comes down to how much of this day, not exclusively this, but how much of my day did I spend with my children, with my family? Mm-hmm. Anything that steals from time with my kids is done only begrudgingly and only as necessary. Because that's such a high priority for me. It's time that I won't get back. I'm in this zone, right, until they're gone, and especially these younger years that we're in. So for me, that's really important. And then with the time I do spend away from them in the work world, you know, I've been running an environmental blog for 2 years, and I feel like I do some good. I put out some positive messages. Mm-hmm. This show is part of that. So the time that I am spending away from my family, which is number one, I feel pretty good about. Mm-hmm. And I make sure that's good because this has to be really important for me. Like, as I'm recording this podcast and sitting here with Steve and Paul right now, you know, I'm missing my children going to bed, which is mm-hmm. precious time. I read mm-hmm. a chapter of a Star Wars book to my son and snuggle with my daughter. And, you know, mm-hmm. I miss that to do this show every night, every time we record, because this is important to me. And it's important to me to, it's inspiring to hear the reader emails, mm-hmm. like the one we just read last week. That's why I do this. You know, drinking wine and hanging out with you guys is fun. We can do that anytime, right?
Right.
So anyway, yeah, the answer for me is yes. And I think it's important that for everybody to be happy, the answer needs for them to be yes based on their own criteria. How about you, Steve?
In terms of?
The answer to that question, the time you spend, I don't know your original.
Well, the question is this the best use of your time right now? I mean, if you're going to die in 6 months, there's some of those ways to look at it. But
by this, you mean what we're doing in this moment, or just in general?
No, in general, the day to whatever lifestyle we've chosen.
So
you know,
your
lifestyle,
is it the best work you can be doing right now?
Probably, because like you, I've got children who aren't that young anymore. I mean,
that it's any less precious.
Right. And in fact, it becomes even more interesting the older they get. But it's super important to spend time, especially as you see that time where they're about to leave the house looming closer and closer.
Right.
And as they're starting to distance themselves from you, you want to kind of cling on to that. So I've kind of structured my life probably subconsciously in a way that I can be with them more. So I've shortened my commute. I can be around at home more. I'm taking longer vacations because Paul's been coaching me on that for years and years. So I just spent, you know, 2 really quality weeks with them.
You certainly have been shifting in that direction.
Yeah.
From 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah. And it's tough. And you know, you just have to sort of let go and say that, you know, everything else will continue while I spend time with my family and mm-hmm. my close friends, which is what I did. And so, you know, I think you just have to take a break and say, this time is family time. This time is, you know, my time.
But what is interesting,
society is not conducive.
But as a society, I mean, it's quite typical for, you know, both mother and father to be working, in our society,
well,
Western culture, and that they're, you know, want to get a bigger house, more stuff, and consumerism.
Yeah, but you know, I think, you know, thank goodness, I think that massive overconsumption is starting to come to an end, and I think that we're. You know, the silver lining to what we're going through right now is that people are going to get back to some of the basics.
I mean, and what the earth needs is a good severe depression to help the environment.
Well, you're not going to win a lot of fans from that one.
Right. But I mean, yeah. There is.
No.
That is true.
Everybody thinks from their wallet. But, well, I mean, you know, or something. I don't know. Yeah. Things that are probably in most cases fairly unpleasant to correct the course. But hopefully we collectively will realize we need to do it ourselves proactively as a species, not as a country, as a species. Because either we do it or it gets done for us.
Well, next episode, I have a very interesting question.
And I'm glad you said that because we're out of time.
Good night.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
And there it is, another episode of Business Success Tips. Thanks as always for joining us. You can check out our website online at businesssuccesstips.org. Send us an email at friends@businesssuccesstips.org. Or if you're a Twitter stalker, find us at twitter.com/BST podcast. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.
Hey, this is Sean Daly, and I hope you'll join me at Tech Exec Casts, a bi-weekly technology podcast where I speak to top executives from tech industry leaders and innovators to find out their perspectives on the industry and their secrets to success in the marketplace. Show guests include executives from top social media and social networking companies, internet marketing firms, enterprise software developers, and more. Search iTunes for Tech Exec Casts, one word, or go to www.techexeccasts.com.